There are a couple of lines from other places in the New Testament which serve well as a rubric for this parable. One is the great judgment scene in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is saying, as long as you did it to the least of my sisters or brothers, you did it to me. And the other line is from the first letter of John. It said, how do you say you love God whom you can't see when you close your eyes to your sister or brother in need whom you can see? So there's this wonderful coherence between that and this parable. And it's still going on. I just read yesterday that in Haiti, where 1.5 million people are still homeless, some of the rich landowners have space on empty spaces, which have been set up as tent cities, and now they've called in the cops to move these people who are living in this squalid situation and move them where? Good Catholic country. So this is not unusual, this profound indifference. And Jesus is clear, was constantly identifying himself with the leftouts. It is very hard for us, I think, to get hold of that idea. So central, for instance, to the thought of a remarkable English writer named Carol Houselander, who had these mystical experiences wherein she saw Christ in every human being. Because we human beings are the only people on earth that carry the image of God. And yet we somehow enable ourselves to be blind and unresponsive to that fact, especially with the people who are so unprepossessing, the poor, the left out, the marginalized. So it's a massive failure on our part, I think, when we as individuals or an institution see the poor, and we have a harder time even than this rich man called Dives sometimes. But Dives is not a proper name, it's just the Latin word for rich. Because our doorstep is much larger than his. And we have to be attentive to that breadth of the doorstep where all these poor are living, here in London, Ontario, every place. The church is for the poor, or it's nothing. It's nothing. It's either servant or it's nothing. And I keep thinking about all the grandeur that surrounds, for instance, papal visits. It costs £10 million for the Pope to go to England for 4 days. There are third world countries where papal visits have basically bankrupted people, and we have all this grandeur, two Mercedes Pope mobiles. And it's not just all this grandeur in the Vatican, but in our own lives, the luxury in which I live, I know. And we don't talk about this enough. We don't exemplify this. And oh, we have sections of the church. Yeah, well, we got the poor people here, and then we got the mass here, and we got devotions here, and we got this theologians here. No, if it all doesn't contribute to our greater sensitivity to the fact that God calls all human beings to be one family, then it's all waste of time. It really is. Or just, you know, playing at church, which we do so often. And finally, something that I deeply believe, and I think is absolutely true. God does not punish. I mean, how did this rich guy get where he was? Did God send him to hell? Did God send Lazarus upwards? No. God just said, when this rich guy died in this state of indifference, there you are, folks. That's where you chose to be. There you are, isolate, separate from the rest of the human race. we need, I think, more and more to attend to the fact that this is the inevitability, the natural progression, if you will, of the way we live. God does not have to do anything special. God just says, well, here I am trying to love you guys, and you withstand that. And to love you guys means I love everybody else with you. And if you reject that, if you're blind to that, there's nothing I can do about it. There you are.